Shockwave Radio.
Welcome back to yet another installment of the Shockwave Podcast. I'm John David, here with Hannah.
Hey.
Also Haley and Mac. Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So with Relay for Life coming up, we're going to focus on cancer for this podcast episode. And just starting off, could you guys tell us each how cancer has affected you and your loved ones?
So I'm actually a cancer survivor.
Really?
Yeah. So I battled neuroblastoma, which is a childhood cancer, at 1 year old. And I went into remission and relapsed at 2. And then I've been in not necessarily remission. At this point, they say that if I ever have cancer again, it's going to be a completely different case. But cancer is also just something that's ran in my family. Most people don't survive it. So, and the doctors say that I'm like not actually supposed to be alive. Like,
wow,
that's incredible.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So you do you not remember anything about it?
I was a baby.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's something that, like, I know more emotionally I'm attached to it because of my mother, mm-hmm. and just the stuff that she went through, and the way that just even the thought of cancer affects her,
mm-hmm.
is kind of where it affects me. Also, I have to go to a survivor clinic every year to get, like, blood drawn just so they can check up on me.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, just kind of ties you to it.
It's probably the only time I'm ever scared. Yeah. It's like when they're like, we just have to check, and I'm like, we really don't have to.
Yeah.
Especially when you just know the reality of it.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Haley?
So after my sophomore year, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, and she was given a prognosis of 2 to 3 years, and so after that, I came back to school a few weeks later and just kind of had to process it and deal with that, and it has been hard for my family, but it's been about a year and a few months out, and she's doing well so far, and her treatment is going well, so that's kind of my story.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That just is so crazy to me, that the thought of, like, coming back to school, and I know that must be so hard. I bet that was just a really difficult time. Can you tell us a little bit, like, what it was like to try to come back, even though, like, it's not over at that point, but you still have to try to, like, live your life?
Right, yeah. So, actually, at the end of the summer, after she was diagnosed, I contemplated transferring to a school back home, but then decided not to because my parents really wanted me to come back here with my community and the people that really have supported me throughout my college journey and wanted me to come back here to get a good education. And even coming back this year for my senior year, I kind of things were up in the air with my mom. Her platelet levels had dropped super low and they weren't really sure what was going on. And I had to come back to school not really knowing what was going on. And neither my family didn't know either. So that was also hard, just coming back and thinking, you know, the doctors don't even know what's going on right now. So it is very scary to come back the first time and the second time. It's just hard going away, not really knowing what's going to happen when I'm gone.
I bet.
You mentioned your community here and the people that support you. Could you guys talk about how important it is to have that community and to be supportive of others going through the similar trials?
Yeah. So I feel like I established a very strong friend group while I've been here, and especially my club, and just all the people that have been around to support me and my family throughout this. And especially at the beginning, everyone was rallying around me, writing notes and just really asking me for updates, and have been really awesome. And so I don't know what I would have done having to come back here without a good supportive group of friends that wouldn't ask me how she was doing or check on me to see how I was doing. I think it's just super important, especially when you're going through hard times like this, to have that group of people that you know is always going to check on you and be there for you.
I think for me personally, like, I definitely, my friend group is like my core here. They are my family. And I do also have, like, certain faculty members that I've really just connected to in, like, the way that cancer's affected their life or their loved ones. Like, Scott Adair is one of them. I remember doing Relay for Life last year, and, like, I went to walk the track. And when it was, like, the caregiver walking with the survivor, like, he and his wife were walking there with me. Like, they weren't even there for when I was going through all that. But, like, just the fact that we have that connection and that bond. It doesn't matter, like, how much you know about the other person, but you have that connection. You have that ability to be like, you know, you're not alone in whatever you went through and whatever you're going through and whatever you are going to go through. Like, we are here, we are together, and we are a stronger community because God works in and through the relationships that we have.
Mm-hmm. And it's so prevalent. Like, and it's great that we're talking about it so much and that people are aware, but it just gives you more of an outlet because you feel like just connected to people that you don't really know anything about because we're have such a strong community of people that are communicating about it, which is really cool.
And that's the purpose of Relay for Life, is to try to create a community for survivors or people that have been affected by it, or even people that have not been affected by cancer in any way, to try to show their support. It can be difficult, though, if people have not been affected by it. What are some difficulties of cancer that no one really knows about and you wish that they did?
You know, I think it's still traumatic. Like, you go through knowing that you're still alive, whether you're fighting it or whether you've already fought it. But I feel like, personally for me, like, when I got baptized, it was me giving my life over to God because He still gave me life through everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I still go through that. Like I said earlier, cancer, I don't remember it at all. But I go every year freaking out about what these test results are going to be, even though I know I'm going to be fine. But there's still that trauma there. There's still that what if that you have to live with. Like, every medical, small, I'm sick or anything like that, any random mole or bump on your body, it scares you. Mm-hmm. It makes you, like, afraid of what tomorrow is going to bring.
Yeah.
Do you still have any effects from that now?
I'm actually disabled. So when they were removing a tumor on the left side, they severed an artery and messed up my whole nervous system in my left arm. So I actually have what's called a brachial plexus injury. My left arm it's not as fully developed or as fully formed. It was the thing that, you know, I didn't remember cancer, but I still have that reminder with me physically,
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, if they had removed it and hadn't messed up anything, it wouldn't affect me. But, like, growing up as a kid, I was always, like, I felt different. I felt the odd one out because I couldn't do the monkey bars or do push-ups. And, like, I still can't do the monkey bars, but I learned to live with that. And I can do push-ups, so it's okay.
I really can't do the monkey bars either.
You can do push-ups more than, and most girls can't. So, hey, that's impressive.
Yeah. But so that's actually something that I have to live with. I've got probably over 8 scars on my body. And when I was younger, that made me, like, super self-conscious because I was, like, I'm different and I can't do anything about it. When I was younger, that couldn't stand it. But as I've gotten older, I mean, going back to community, that's one, a conversation starter, and two, it connects you to other people that are struggling or are different or are disabled. And it's like, look, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all struggling together.
Yeah, I relate to you so much. When I was a little less than a year old, I had meningitis, and it was, like, really bad and whatever, but I am deaf in one ear because of that now, and I don't remember it at all, so I feel, like, very lucky. I really don't even feel like being deaf in one ear is really, I don't know, I feel, like, weird talking about it because it doesn't seem like a big deal to me anymore, and I feel like people have so many other things that they've dealt with, but I totally relate because, like, I feel connected to that because of the stories and, like, hearing the emotion behind it from other people, and they talked about it when I was a baby, and it's just, you know, it's kind of like a connecting thing.
No, it's so, like, growing up, that's, I don't know, people are like, what's it like to live with not being able to use your left side? I'm like, what's it like living with being able to use both arms?
Exactly.
I've no idea. It's like your normal is just as equal to my normal, just completely different.
Yes, I know. I mean, I was a year old, and I'm completely deaf in this year, so I don't remember that at all. But it's so funny. I remember, I don't know, I'm not, like, upset about it at all, but I remember being in, like, school and being on the playground, and people would love to, like, try to whisper things in my ear. They're like, did you hear that? And I'm like, no. But, I mean, it was really fine.
I'm definitely going to start doing that.
So it's just kind of a funny thing, but it definitely, like, there have been times that I was very self-conscious of it because especially when I have to, like, explain it to people. Yeah. And it feels like there's some, like, I don't mind talking about it, and it doesn't bother me that it's there, but whenever I have to explain it in a way that, like, makes it seem like something's wrong mm-hmm. with me, then that makes me, like, kind of embarrassed. But
it's weird, because I'm like, I was like, oh, I can't use my left hand as well, and people are like, oh, no, and I'm like, yeah, well, I'm disabled, so, and that's yeah. just... I don't know, like, I feel like that's not a term that applies to me, but I know that's kind of, like, the reality in comparison to the norm. So that's the only time I'm like, oh, this is it kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Haley, I'm sorry. I totally am meaning to bring you into this a little bit. So what are some difficulties that you feel like, especially as someone who, like, has a mom who's gone through it, but, you know, you had to come back to school. What's some difficulties that you feel like people don't understand about the struggle with that?
Yeah, I think for my situation, I kind of hinted at this earlier, but at the beginning, everyone was so supportive and was asking me, I would get questions about it almost every day when I posted about it on Facebook and when I did the chapel on it in October of last year. But now that we're a year and a few months out, it's not that people have forgotten, but they just don't think of that the first thing when they see me, which is totally fine. You know, people have their own lives going on. They have their own things. So I don't expect people to be constantly thinking about, oh, how is she doing with all of this? But it's kind of has faded. And I've noticed that really the only people that ask me are the people that are very, very close to me, which is good. But also it's just a reminder that everyone is dealing with something, you know, everyone has their own things going on. And what tends to happen is at the beginning of things, everyone's like, oh, are you okay? Tell me about this and let's have coffee and let's talk and whatever. And let me do this nice thing for you. Or let me write you a note. But a year later, and I'm still feeling the same emotions and I'm still going through the same things, but it's not as prevalent in other people's minds. So I think it's just a good reminder for, you know, not just only me, but everyone that's going through something that they have opened up to you about. That struggle doesn't just disappear after you share that with them just a few days later. They're always dealing with it. So just remember your friends that are going through something that, you know, have a sick parent or are going through something themselves emotionally or mentally or physically or anything like that. Just, I think it's a good thing to remember to check on the people that you love that are going through something.
That's absolutely right. So you both mentioned the trials that you've gone through, and we've already hinted at this, but what has brought you the most comfort through all these difficulties?
I think for me, it has been the just consistency of God throughout all of it, because I can tell you that my emotions and everything has wavered within me, and being angry at God or being completely reliant on Him or being totally distant, that has all happened within this span of time that I've had to deal with my mom's diagnosis. But no matter how I'm feeling at the moment, just feeling God's consistency and His love at all times and every single situation has been so powerful to me. And even when I'm so far away from saying that, you know, I trust you, God, with everything, He still shows Himself to me in ways that I just couldn't even explain, and that it's such a blessing that even when I am doubting and even when I am not at my best, God is always at His best and He's always there.
I tend to view relationships as the most important part of my faith, because that's how I view us and God, is it's a giant relationship, and that's seen through the way that we interact with those around us. It's the love and the humanity that's there that I think provides the most comfort. It's in asking, how are you doing, and writing the letters and taking the time to be intentional mm-hmm. about loving those around you and to be that comfort that, honestly, you can say that's God there in and through all of it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, Mackie, I know you're pretty heavily involved with the Relay for Life Committee, mm-hmm. and Haley, you supported a ton of people who've also been dealing with the same things that you've been dealing with. What are some dreams that you guys have for things that you would love to accomplish in terms of bringing awareness or supporting others through cancer?
I feel like, I don't know, and it's not just with cancer, but anybody going through something, whether it's they have or they are, we tend to, like, view them differently as if they're not you going through a hard time. And so, like, it's good to be comforted, but then it's also when you're treated like you are different. But to break down that stigma and that wall and be like, listen, you're just as human as the person that's going through this really hard thing. And just that right there. Also, I guess just more awareness, because I feel like we're just so, I'm trying to look for the word, complacent. We kind of just, or we're immune to the idea, the thought of cancer. So, because it's so prevalent and so common in the world. You're like, oh, yeah, this person had cancer. You're like, oh, well, you know, my uncle had cancer. Yeah. And like the idea that we should like, I feel like it's such an oxymoron, not treat people differently, but also treat like every single person that's going through it, not as they're a statistic or a number,
right?
But just to treat people as people.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like my hope
mm-hmm.
for that.
Awesome. Ellie?
I would say that my goal is to be a doctor, and I've heavily considered being an oncologist, and I feel like for me that would be a good position for me, because I've had experience being on the other side of, not directly, obviously, because I have not had cancer, but have been on the other side of the doctor telling my mom, this is what you have. And I feel like I have gained a lot of knowledge about how not only the biology of cancer, but also the relational side of cancer as a physician. My mom's oncologist has been incredible, and I think we need more incredible oncologists in the world. And I've heard a lot of horror stories about bad, just really non-sympathetic oncologists. And I don't think there's any room for that in medicine. And so whether I choose oncology or not, I feel like that I have been on the other side of a very unique situation where we've dealt very closely with the doctors involved in my mom's situation, and I feel like I've gained a lot of awareness and kind of what is good to do, what is not good to do, and I feel like that will make me a better physician one day for the patients I one day will treat.
Awesome.
I'm sure you're going to change the world, Haley.
Thank you.
And this has been just such a good conversation, Mac and Haley. Thanks for coming on the show. Please, everyone, get involved with Relay for Life. Get involved in any way you can to help fight cancer. Be that supportive community that we all need.
They're trying to reach $30,000 this year.
$30,000. You hear that? $30,000. That could just be one of you, okay? One of you could give $30,000 and we'd be there. Or if all of you gave $30,000, that'd be even better.
Wow. We are still in college. Calm down.
Anyways, if you'd like to learn more about the podcast, what we're talking about, reach out to us on social media at HUStewPubs or email us at HUShockwave@gmail.com. Again, that's at HUStewPubs and HUShockwave@gmail.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ooh, Shockwave Radio.